Okay, good morning, Boker Tov. Last week we began the section called Kriya on page Ayin Hey, page 75. Anyone wants a copy? It's still one more here. Rav Pinkus in Sha'arim B'Tfila. Again, the premise, the theory of Sha'arim B'Tfila, based on the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, there are 13 synonyms for prayer in Tanakh. Each one means something different. Each one represents a different model or module of prayer. So here in this parak of Kriya we began last week, Rav Pinkus defines Kriya as calling out to God with certainty that He's there. We've seen different models. There's davening from doubt, there's davening with certainty, there's davening from joy, there's davening from sadness. We spoke about davening in the form of a groan, a moan, not even words. Davening is intuition, reaching out to Hashem. Here with Kriya, Rav Pinkus developed the idea that this is davening. You're talking to Hashem as if He is standing right opposite you, your best friend. You're filling Him in on your life. Sometimes you talk on the phone to somebody. Someone recently, after last week, after Sha'arim B'Tfila, I forgot already who, someone told me the story of a friend who was speaking to someone with laryngitis who had no voice, speaking to them on the phone. And at some point you're talking and talking and talking. At some point you say to yourself, I wonder if they're still there. They can't answer, they can't respond, there's no feedback. You're talking and talking and talking. You can't help but think at some point, I'm talking, I wonder if there's anyone there listening. So often that's how people feel in their communication with the Almighty. Kriya, says Rav Pinkus, is with absolute knowledge. It's as if you're sitting opposite the person. There's no doubt, there's no room for doubt. You're sitting talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with certainty. U'kechol sheyitfos, we're in the second paragraph, fourth line down. Kechol sheyitfos ha'adam zos yoser bepashtos, hani yoser Yehudi v'yoser enosh v'yoser oved Hashem. The more one works on cultivating the sense that Hashem is opposite them, that Hashem is absolute, that Hashem is real. It's not a figment of imagination, it's not a stretch, He's not a function of doubt or a leap of faith, but Hashem is real in my life, He's my best friend, He's right there. The better Jew, the better person, the better Oved Hashem they'll be. And this was our rabbis meant, halavai, that we should prepare for our conversation, our dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Ribono Shel Olam, the way we do with some of the other ones. If you've ever met with a dignitary, an elected official, a high-ranking person that you want to influence their decision-making, you prepare for that meeting, you think about the words you're going to use, how can you be most persuasive? If you ever had to go into a job interview where you're trying to land a big deal, a big client, a big business opportunity, you're concerned, you're nervous, you prepare, you think, you're intimidated, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we come in and flippantly we say davening. So he says, Lashon Chazal, halavai, halavai that we would see Hashem and feel those feelings the way we do among human beings. V'lashon, ze lashon Rabbeinu ha-mesilas yisharim, hinei shlosh dvarim tzarich shiyistak al adam v'yizbonin heitev kedei sheyagi al zos ha-yira. Three things a person should contemplate, meditate on, in order to get to this level. Ha-echad, number one, she'omed mamash lefnei abor yisbarach shemo, v'nosei v'nosei n'imo, afa pi she'en eino shel adam ro'ehu. So number one is, it doesn't happen automatically and it doesn't happen easily. Person has to actually think for a minute. I'm about to daven, I'm about to experience whatever it is in life, I should pause and think and realize I'm talking to Hashem and He's listening. He's here. It's not a burden, it's not that He's listening to millions of people simultaneously and my voice is drowned out. I'm speaking to Hashem and He is listening. This is probably one of the hardest things, says Rav Pinkus, says Mesilas Yesharim, in all of Avodas Hashem, in all of serving Hashem, to really feel with certainty that I'm talking and Hashem is listening. Because normally our senses contribute. We see, feel, hear, smell, touch, all of our senses usually contribute to our knowledge. Here we're asked to have knowledge and our senses are futile. They're not contributing. You can't see, feel, hear, touch, smell Hashem. So this is something which is very, very challenging. Omnam, mishu bal sechel nachon. However, if you're a thinking person, b'matis bonanus v'simas lev yuchal l'kvo b'libo amitas adavar. But if you're a thinking person and you recognize that the odds of this world coming to being on its own, the odds of randomness and chance are so minuscule and infinitesimal, it's almost impossible. If you're a thinking person who understands that there must be a creator and a first cause, there must be an all-powerful being, there's a Ribono Shel Olam, there's a master of the universe, and the master of the universe is involved in my life. We spoke about yesterday in the Parsha Shir, we spoke about last Shabbos, that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought these Makos, not for Paro, not for the Mitzrim, they were for us, so that we know, says the Kuzari, that God didn't create a world and move on, but the reason He did all the pomp and circumstance, the sound and light show of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to embed within our collective consciousness forever, that He is in our lives continuously, that just as He interceded on their behalf thousands of years ago, He intercedes on our behalf. So it's hard to feel that when you're still, you know, waking up in the morning or you're running into mincha from work. You have to think 30 seconds. Kadosh Baruch Hu created this world. He's still involved in my life. There are things that happen that are beyond chance and coincidence. I know He's involved in my life. So when I talk to Him now, I know I'm not talking to a wall and I'm not talking on the phone wondering if there's anyone on the other end. I see Hashem in my life and He's real. Echu ba v'nosei v'nosein mamash imo yizbarach u'lefanavu mischanein u'meitohu mivakesh. Person has to realize they're davening to Hashem and it's from Hashem that they're offering their requests. When I say Hashem, a refuah shleima, a livelihood, parnasa, justice, all the different requests, the 13 supplications we make in the Amida, we should realize that Hashem can actually fulfill them. It's not a wish list. I'm not blowing out a candle and making a wish. It's not a Jewish idea, like wishes come true. I'm talking to the one who controls it. I'm talking to the master of my destiny. I'm talking to the one who is the decision maker. In the same way I prepare for that meeting with the elected official or the business meeting or the major client or the big investor, is how I should prepare for that meeting with a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's going to determine my fate. And not in theory, and not that's a cute idea, and not I wish I felt that way, but in reality. Kriya means in reality, I know. I am sitting opposite. I have an audience with the one who can heal. I have an audience with the one who can make the deal happen. I have an audience with the one who can bring the healthy baby. And Hashem is listening the way a friend listens to his friend. In fact, much better. Today, a friend listens to his friend while responding to text messages and mind. Hashem listens to us much better than the contemporary way that a friend listens to a friend. All that's Mesilas Yesharim. Says Rav Pinkus, this is the key, the essential component to meaningful prayer. If you rush into davening and you don't bother to think and you don't give it a context and you're not working on seeing Hashem as a reality opposite us, and it's all just a figment and it's all a wish list and it's all imaginary and it's all fantasy and it's all, then you're not going to get much out of it. And by the way, one of the things to daven for is to ask Hashem for help to see Hashem as real. In other words, success in Avodas Hashem, we often think it's kind of paradoxical. I'm going to ask God to help me ask God. I'm going to ask God to help me see God. But yeah, that's one of the most powerful tefillos, is to say, Hashem, I'm struggling to see you as real. I'm struggling to feel your presence in my life. I'm struggling to recognize. I'm struggling to be mindful throughout my day that you are with me. That's an incredibly powerful tefillah. I mean, is there a greater affirmation that you believe in Hashem than to say, Hashem, I believe in you, but I'm struggling to feel it. Help me feel it. If you were struggling to feel it and you didn't care, you wouldn't ask. The fact that you're asking Hashem is an affirmation. You believe in Hashem. You believe in Him enough to ask Him to help you feel Him in your life. That's huge. That's huge. So that's a very powerful tefillah. Say, Hashem, I daven, I don't feel you. Hashem, I go through my day and I'm not mindful of you. I make my decisions, I'm not thinking of you. Hashem, help me. Help me feel your presence in my life. V'hineh, we'll do one more paragraph because it's a... No, it's going to work today. Even though this form of davening, where it's interesting because this is the fourth or fifth synonym of tefillah. You would have thought maybe this is the first. Oh, first most important thing is to know your opposite Hashem. But there's other forms of tefillah first. This is very high level. This is not simple. This is not the expectation. You're 13 years old, you become a bar mitzvah, you come to shul, you know Hashem is opposite you. This is something which is, it takes years, it takes a lot of time to develop, it's hard to work on. So v'afa gavda kriya inena kolela sadayinis abakasha binyan shu tzarech, hare kriya kodemis ledibur, hakriya hu litzura ha-maga b'chdei sha'ashen ya'ane l'kriyaso, ye'muchan l'hakshiv lo, v'az tavo abakasha v'atza'aka. Kriya actually is a prerequisite to bakasha. Meaning, before you could ask something of someone, you have to acknowledge they exist. You have to acknowledge someone exists, and you have to acknowledge that somebody's capable of helping you before you can begin to ask what you need. Right? Sometimes you run into a problem. I had a problem at an airport this week with a ticket. And, you know, sometimes you know that the person behind the counter can't help you, so you go right to asking for the supervisor. Can I please speak to the supervisor? What you're going to talk to somebody who can't help you. So first you have to establish the relationship with the person who could help you. You have to acknowledge that they're the one who had the power to sign off on what you need. And then you could begin to ask. to start asking when you're talking. You're going to walk into the airport and find a custodian sweeping in the corner and say, look, I have a problem with my ticket. I need to change the ticket, the seat, the guy sweeping the floor. What are you talking to me for? First, you got to establish the conversation with the person who can provide, answer the need, and then you could begin to ask. So kriya actually precedes, it's the prerequisite to bakasha. Aval hayos akriya yakdama lebakasha ukshura hilaa, hoshigam etzem akriya tzricha shtei benusach uvetzura me'en hamatara hamevukeshes. Since the reason for establishing the relationship, I shouldn't say the reason, but the goal of reaffirming the relationship is to create a venue, a platform to be able to ask, so the nusach, the built into the formulation of the relationship is the ask. V'lachain, so we'll do one more, last paragraph. V'lachain, b'teva b'nei adam shekoran api rov b'shem, v'emes kol nyano shashem hu l'tzorach kriya, shebezemes bar heitev kol ikar n'shem, t'ay Hashem move on anochon kol nyano hu lahagdir u lafarish as mahuz bal Hashem. K'yadu m'divri chazal, shom ha-kadosh baruch ha-malachai ha-shari salat ma-rishon, chachmasam meru b'mishalachem, v'zosim b'nei sheyedo l'kru b'shem as l'chol ha-briya. So Rav Pinkus talks about the power of a name. When we use a name, by the way, if you get stuck in the airport and you need to speak to the supervisor, you should know that you're much more likely to get what you're asking for, what you need, when you use someone's name, when you make them human. When you see the little name on the thing and you say, hey, Shirley, I'm stuck, I need your help, I understand you're the one who could help. There's a connection when you use someone's name. And you're at the checkout line at the supermarket. Instead of being on your phone and texting, and the person who's checking you out becomes an object, and they feel utterly insignificant and pathetic because you don't even acknowledge them, you say, thank you so much, Bob. You know, whoever checks you out, you use their name, you've given them a soul, you've lifted them. So too over here, he says, when you're calling to someone and you want to make them feel real, you want to make them feel that you know that they're opposite you, they exist, you use their name. If you don't use the name of the checkout person, they feel like they're invisible. You're on your phone, you're texting, yeah. Maybe you say thank you after you swiped your card, maybe. But if you actually get off your phone and you say hello to the person, use their name, ask them how their day is going, you've fulfilled kriya. You're first of all, it's a kind and proper and derech eretz thing to do, but also in cases where one is stuck, you're more likely to get what you need. So too over here, we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Malachi Asharis about Adam HaRishon, that Adam is greater. He knew how to give a name to every animal. It means he knew their essence. When you use the person's name, you're personalizing, you're making it specific. I need something, and by using your name, I don't think any generic human being can take care of it. I used your name means I acknowledge that you and only you can take care of it. So if you generically call, hey you, can you help me with X? So the reason you're unlikely to succeed is that person thinks, I'm just a hey you, you generically need help, good luck buddy, go find help from someone else. If you use someone's name, you're acknowledging you're the one who's positioned to help me. I've used your name, I've made it specific, I've established a personal connection and relationship. So he's going to continue, we'll see next week. When you use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, you're personalizing. And it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has generic names, he has many names, but use specific names for specific circumstances to set the stage to know that Hashem is all powerful, and whatever it is we're going to ask, we establish the relationship with the understanding that He is the one who can help us. Have a great day.